sang that refrain three times. His power can make you what you ought to be. And I wonder this morning what that means to you. That rolled off your tongue very easily. It fit very well in the song. But his power can make you what you want to be. So what would you like to change about yourself? What is it about you? Maybe you want to be more confident or more relaxed or more outgoing or have less fear or worry less. I don't know what it is for each and every one of you, but there are very few people I have met in life that feel like they are where they want to be. And so the question is, most of us are very interested in changing probably something, realizing that we could do better, we're not where we want to be. And we just sang, His power can make us what we want to be. So why is it I can't change? Why is it that there's an aspect of my life or something that I would like to change, but I don't seem to know how or I don't seem to have the power to bring it about? And so what do we do in the world? We go to seminars, we go to conferences, we listen to tapes and CDs. We try to work on our self-discipline and our willpower. Maybe we join a group or a club or do this or that, and we find that we're in the same old rut and maybe we don't change. We read self-help books, one of the largest industries in the publishing business, and they all tell us what to change, but they don't tell us how to change, to the point where we think perhaps the only people that really want to change are wet babies. So where do I get that power? Why is there a lack of power to get off dead center? If I can sing that in the refrain, His power can make me what I want to be, how do I break out of that mold, that rut? Where do I get that power to get off the dime? Because God can fix a broken heart, a broken life, but we have to give Him all the pieces. And the good news is that's what he came for. Philippians 3:10, all I want to know is Christ and experience the power of his resurrection. Ephesians 1:20, I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe him, the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. That word power there in the Greek, it's used in the New Testament 57 times. And this is a book of power. So often we focus on the resurrection at Easter and on Christ's resurrection. But this entire book, more than that one powerful event that we focus on Resurrection Sunday, more than that one timeline in history that separates A.D. and B.C., more than that one mighty work of God that split all of human history in two, Scripture says you have the power to change your life, to be what God wants you to be what you want to be. And so we're going to talk about that resurrection power, that same Holy Spirit power that God did that incredible work in reanimating dead flesh and bringing life back, his power to change. And so how does God change me today? As a believer, if his power can make you what you ought to be, what does he want me to be and what is the power that's available, his power to do it? And Paul said, I want you to know the power of his resurrection. That Greek word for power is dunamis. It's where we get the word dynamite, and that's literally what he was expressing, that explosive, incredible power. And he says, I want you to know it. I want you to have it in your life because that's God's plan. Paul says, that's my personal goal to have that, and I want to see it in you as well. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead over 2,000 years ago is available for your life and my life right now, able to change your life and to make you what you ought to be. So what is resurrection power? See it in your outline there. The power to cancel your past in Christ's mighty work, the power to conquer your problems, what Paul is teaching us, and the power to change your personality. That's what the Bible says. First, the power to cancel your past. So, my failures, my mistakes, my regrets, my sins. And when Scripture says cancel, it's not just talking about denying the past and saying it never happened or trying to forget about. But that word there, cancel, it means eliminate, neutralize, offset. It's like you've been through a project. Maybe you're painting a room. You get about halfway done. You think, I don't like that color. That doesn't look good with our furniture. I wish I could go back and start all over again. I have spoke with people that are at the midpoint or late in their life that feel the same way. Life hasn't gone the way I wanted. I'm not the person I want to be. I wish I could just go back and start all over. I wish I could wipe out the mistakes I've made. The failures, how far I have fallen short of my own expectations, let alone God's. Everybody has regrets. Everybody has things in their life where they say, I don't measure up to my own hopes and standards, let alone God's. But the problem is some people can't let go of the past, and as a result, they let the past control the present. And Paul is saying you have incredible power. No matter what the situation is in your life, no matter what you've been through, he says you do not have to stay there. You do not have to live in a state of regret. You do not have to continually say whatever situation or habit or characteristic it is, if only, continually second-guessing yourself. God says it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary to go around with this heavy load of guilt. It's unnecessary to go around with all of these old hurts. It's unnecessary to go around with memories of mistakes that you've made in your life. Colossians 3:14, He has forgiven all of our sins and canceled every record of the debt we had to pay. Christ did away with that, you know, by nailing it to the cross. And so Scripture says, He has forgiven all of your sins. Now that's interesting. It's an archery term. You probably know for sin there. And it simply means if you shoot an arrow at a target and it falls short, it misses the mark. That's the way the authors wanted to describe sin. So when Scripture says all have sinned and fallen short, it just simply means we don't always hit the bullseye. And so we don't live up to our own expectations, our own goals, much less what we know God expects of us. But the good news is God offers complete forgiveness. God offers to cancel every record of debt in your life. And in fact, the word that describes forgiveness literally is an ultimate, a final word. It means blot out, wipe out, washed away, canceled. In other words, it's completely forgotten. Jesus Christ knows the things that you and I have done wrong. And he did not come to rub it in. He came to rub it out. He came to change you. Jesus himself in John 3:17, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save it. So he says, first, I cancel all of your past mistakes. It's like Etch-a-Sketch. You're working with the Etch-a-Sketch and you mess up. And all you do is turn it over, shake it around, and you've got a clean slate. Trusting Christ and his work on the cross and his righteousness for your ticket into heaven, your salvation. When you do that, he wipes you clean. Jeremiah 31:34, God says, I will remember their sins no more. It's one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. God, who made the world, makes the universe, chooses to forget your wrongs, your mistakes, your failures. When you come to him and you ask through Christ and faith in him for forgiveness, he says, I will cancel your past. That's why we call it the good news. So some would say, if they simply say, Christ Jesus, I want you to forgive all of the things I've done wrong. I want to give my life to you. I have fallen short of my own expectations, let alone how I've grieved you, Father. I want to make that commitment. If people would do that, what Scripture teaches is that if they would die that night, trust Him for salvation, confess Him, put their faith and belief in who He is and what He said He would do, be baptized into the newness of life and raised as a new creature in Christ with that indwelling Holy Spirit, if they would die tonight, they would be with Him in heaven. So God would say, well, Father, this is a great deal, but what about that sin I committed just yesterday before I came to Christ? And He would say, what sin? What are you talking about? Some of us had made such major mistakes in life or with family or with business, and someday you will face Him and He will say, what mistakes? Some have gone through divorce or terrible things, and God would cancel your past and He would say, what? Completely forget. That allows you to get on with your present. Why? Because He has wiped clean the past. Jesus is perfect. God sees that imputed righteousness, the very righteousness of Christ, as a pearly white robe wrapped around your filthy rags. It is the righteousness, the perfection of Christ that He looks at, that He sees. So what is the basis for that? Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, one of His last words in one of the Gospels was, it is finished. In the Greek, that's literally one word, and it means paid in full. It's done. It's finished. It's canceled. It's what they would stamp on bills in that day. It's what they would stamp on prison sentences when they were fulfilled or commuted. Paid in full. And so God says that's what Jesus did on the cross. He paid for every mistake you've ever made, and after you put your trust in Him, that you will make. So you can stop crucifying yourself. He was hung for your hang-ups, your sin, and that's the good news of the gospel. And if God forgets a sin, the moment that you confess it and ask forgiveness, don't you think you should be at a point where you forget it? How long do you remember a bill when it's paid? Every month when I get my Blue Ridge bill and I go down, I'm old, I like to go down and pay them in person, I pay that bill, and do I go into the next month worrying about that bill or about how much it was or about when I paid it? No, I forget about it. It's canceled. It's wiped out, and that's what God is saying. He takes all your mistakes, all your failures, puts them in the deepest part of the sea when you give your life to Him, and then He turns His back on them, puts a no fishing sign up, and He says, this is the power to cancel your past. But then secondly, look what else He does with the resurrection. It's the power to conquer your problems. I've got problems, you've got problems, all of God's children has problems. If you don't have problems, check your pulse. But our real problem with the problems that we have in life is that you and I try to solve them in our own power, in our own strength. You've heard about the old story about the guy, he's mountain climbing and he falls about hundreds of feet off the cliff and he's grabbing onto this branch and it's hundreds of feet ahead of him, it's hundreds of feet to the bottom below. He's praying to God, and he says, Father, if you're there, help me. And he hears God from heaven say, trust me, let go. He thinks about it, and he says, is there anybody else up there? That's how we are. We want to do it under our own strength, our own power. We don't want to let go. We don't want to let God. The power to conquer your problems. Scripture says, who shall separate you, us, from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or danger? No, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. That conquer means one who overcomes by gaining control. That's the power God gives you, the ability to overcome because of this control, this power. And the fact is, you and I can't control our circumstances. We can't control what life throws at us. But what we can do is control how we respond to them. Say, but you don't know my problems. You don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what I'm going through. It's bad. No, I don't. But if we sit there and we have a pity party and we say, everybody hates me, nobody loves me, I'm going to go eat worms. We can't control the circumstances in our life, but we can control our response to them. It's like the guy that, we get this a lot in Granite Falls, that was riding his mules with his wagon and had his dog with him and going down the country roads and the foothills. The city slicker and this fast car comes by and just knocks him over, terrible accident, keeps going. And he's laying there, he's hurt, he's pinned under his wagon. Finally, he hears a vehicle come up and he's, finally, somebody's going to help me. And it's the sheriff. And he says, good. The sheriff walks over and sees the mule has some broken legs and takes out his revolver and puts him out of his misery. And he goes over and sees the dog is in the situation that he's in and does the same thing. Finally, he gets over to the farmer pinned under his wagon, said, how are you doing? He says, I've never been better in my life, Sheriff. It's not the circumstances, but it's the controlled response. And so what that verse says is, we are more than conquerors. In other words, it says super conquerors, overwhelming victory. And so if you put your life in God's hands, then Scripture says you rely on His power of the resurrection. He's saying nothing can devastate you, nothing can take you, nothing can swallow you up, nothing can destroy you. And the beautiful message of the resurrection that applies for us every day, not just on Easter, is no matter how dark the situation, God can turn it around. God loves to turn crucifixions into resurrections. The same power that enabled Jesus Christ to rise from the dead will allow you to rise over your problems, and I don't care what they are. It's the power to cancel your past. It's the power to conquer your problems. And then third, look, it's the power to change your personality. His power can make you what you ought to be. What would you like to change about you? Who do you feel you ought to be? Or maybe I should ask, what would your spouse like to change about you? That might be a little more accurate. One wife said, my husband is so temperamental, he's 90% temper and 10% mental. Husband went in for marriage counseling one day and he said, I want a divorce right now. And the pastor at his church says, I can't believe this. You promised before God and before me as a witness that you would take her for better or for worse. And the man said, yeah, but she's a lot worse than I took her for. The power to change your personality. Complete this sentence. It's just like me to be always late, worry, never stay on a diet, always put my foot in my mouth, always blow up, always be depressed, always get angry. Whatever it is, the fact is that God says, this power is available to you, and there is this two-step process that God can use it to change your life. We commit our lives to Christ, which we've done. That's the initial turning point. Someone becomes a Christian, he becomes that new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life begins. And then what happens? God says, I've canceled your past. I've wiped that out. All of that's gone. The Bible calls it being born again. It means you get another chance, a new life. Not a new leaf, but a new life. And then it's followed by this lifetime process that we're in, Romans 12:2. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but let God remake you so that your whole attitude of mind is changed. I love Romans 12. And it's so easy to get in a rut, in a treadmill, in the rat race. And there's this myth growing around that goes like this, and our culture sells it to us. I can't change. I've tried to change. I've worked hard at it. I've used all of my willpower and self-discipline. I've read books. I've listened to CDs. It's just the way I am. I'll never be able to be different. And you know, you're right. You can't change on your own power. But God says, I have this resurrection power, this ability I can give you. He says, I want to take your greatest weaknesses and turn them into strengths. How does God do that? What is the process he uses? Galatians 5, 22, 23. When the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And yet, rather than being loving, usually we feel unloved, unlovely, unloving. Rather than joy, we're defeated, depressed, discouraged. Rather than peace, we feel uptight, pressured. Rather than patience, we're frustrated and irritated. And instead of kindness, it's every man for himself. Goodness, we say, there's nothing good about me. Faithfulness, many people feel betrayed, rejected, alone. Gentleness, we normally feel angry or resentful. Self-control, my life is falling apart. Yet in this passage of Galatians, these characteristics of believers, Christians, who let, it says, the power of God work in their lives. It's not something you work up. It's not something you do under your own power. It's not something you do by trying to force yourself to be more loving or joyful. It's something that God does on the inside through that resurrection power that he will allow if we turn it over to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you are the salt of the earth, but remember, the world needs some sugar too. There's one thing that will keep you from changing. One thing that will keep you from becoming the person that you ought to be, that you want to be, that God wants you to be. What is it? Is it the devil? Is it other people? Is it God? Is it circumstances in my life? It's one word, procrastination, and it's deadly. I have every intention to change. I'll do it tomorrow. Intentions don't do anybody any good. I'm aiming to change. I'm going to address this. I'm going to do something about it. But when do we pull the trigger? I'm going to go to the dentist. I'm going to go to the doctor. I'm going to have that surgery I need. I'm going to spend more time with my family. I'm going to get serious about being a Christian. I'm going to get active in a church. I'm going to go after that dream. I'm going to get in shape. One of these days, you and I do it all the time, and we procrastinate about making changes that would be good for us. Maybe complacency does it. Maybe fear. Maybe pride. The majority in those solid rocket boosters that are attached to shuttles and rockets, the majority of the fuel that is used in a rocket launch is used in the first few hundred yards. Once that rocket overcomes inertia and gets off the dime and gets up into orbit, it takes very little fuel. And the hardest thing in life is to get going. The hardest thing in life is to break that procrastination. And so it's one thing for me to come here and say, Jesus Christ can cancel your past. He can help you conquer your problems that you're facing right now. He can help you change your personality, help you become that fruit of the Spirit. You go out saying, one of these days, I'm going to let God do that. One of these days, I'm going to let the power of God work in my life. Well, let me ask you, what does the resurrection mean to you? Ancient event? Go to the tomb, nobody's home. He's not there. Jesus Christ is alive, and since he is alive, he gives you the power to change. He said, the same power that the Father used to raise me into the newness of life, he says, I want you to experience that power of Jesus Christ right now. The power of Christ to make the changes in your life that you want so badly to, he says, it's available. The power in your life to get started, the power to keep going, the power to break that human inertia and tendency to procrastinate. We don't do it because we don't have the power on our own. What we need to do is depend upon God. And so he says, if you've been unable to let go of your past, I offer you complete forgiveness. You can put your life back together again. It's never too late You're never a failure until you give up. He can give you the peace of a clear conscience. You're overwhelmed by powers, by problems. He says that resurrection says no situation is hopeless, so you relax, you trust, you let go. He says you don't have to be controlled by your circumstances, but you can control your response to them. No problem, he says, is too big for God. He is still in the resurrection business. And this morning he says, what are you waiting for? Let's pray. Father God, Christ could have responded so differently to the circumstances that surrounded that final week, those final hours. He controlled that response. He conquered his problems. He became the purpose, the mission that you sent him to accomplish. And that power that you used to raise him from the dead through our indwelling Holy Spirit is now, as believers in Christ, available to us. Help us to let go of the past. Help us to not be overcome by our problems. Help us to get off the dime and become who you want us to be, because we sing, the power is available to us. Help each and every one of us allow your power into our lives to work that effect. We pray that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.